We've been talking about all kinds of things. Ministries of Kings. Amen. We've been talking about and about walking in the third realm, right? The third dimensional realm. God is moving quickly in all kinds of areas. And tonight we want to be able to finish up the Ministries of Kings, because we started it last Tuesday and we didn't get to finish it. So we want to finish this up tonight. And we know that in this end time right now, that in this third dimensional warriors, that God is raising up kings, isn't he? In fact, the move of the Spirit right now is bringing us to a place where there is kingship and training to become a king. Amen? And in this, it's going to take a lot of dying. It's going to take a lot of training. It's going to take a lot of revelation and impartation. It's going to take an area where the things that you thought were okay at one time are no longer okay. Hello? Going to begin to expose where your fruits are, where your focus is, and what your purpose is. Amen? See, God wants to get us in line. In line. Now, would you turn to the book of Revelation, please? Chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The book of Revelation in chapter 1. Everybody there? Thank you, Master. Lord, grant us that impartation tonight. Grant, let us not only catch the anointing, but be prepared to surrender. In Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see here that he has made us kings and what? Priests. Now, if you'll go to verse 10, please. So we see that Jesus is a king, isn't he? Amen? And now, John was in the Spirit, and he says in verse 10, and I was in the Spirit, and on the Lord's day I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. And in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Now that is powerful. Why? Because he's king. Does everybody understand that? So Jesus doesn't look like the same Jesus you see in the movies. Amen. He doesn't look like the same, the little Jewish boy who grew up. You know, that don't look like no nationality we know in this world, does it? Praise be to God. With woolen hair, fiery eyes, you know, I mean, two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. He ain't playing no games. Amen? So I wanted to impart that with you because he is a king. He is the king. Amen? The king. Now, go to John chapter 19. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 19.
Praise God.
Is everybody there? John 19, verse 10. Would you read it with me? Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin." Now, you know, I bet no one ever said that to Pilate before. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Pilate ever heard anybody stand before him and say, "You got no power except for the one that's been granted to you from above." Now, when you remember something, Jesus didn't say anything to him except for right then and there. When Pilate was trying to say, "I have power and authority," and Jesus said, "You don't have nothing." In other words, he expressed his kingship over his king. Does everybody understand it? That king of Pilate, of his position. Now look at, let's go a little further. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. No kidding. Pilate got revelation. But the Jews cried out saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Now these were the religious ones. These were the ones that were the Sanhedrin, supposedly all dressed up in robes, carrying the word of God. Amen? They were carrying the Torah around and sitting in wonderful places, and here they were on a front row trying to kill Jesus. Now, when Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Oh, you don't think that put... Oh, man, they were freaking out. Because now you understand this. Pilate acknowledged Jesus as a king. Y'all get that? You know, and I'll tell you again, I know he never acknowledged anyone as a king. But he acknowledged Jesus as the king, and he said, "Behold your king." Now, let's go a little further. But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified, so they took Jesus and led him away. Now, this is powerful, because Jesus showed his authority and power, didn't he? Amen? Now, look at this. Even now, Pilate acknowledged Jesus as a king. Why did he acknowledge Jesus as a king? Because he saw the character of a king. The way he responded, the way he acted, the way he stood, and what he spoke. Pilate acknowledged Jesus as a king. He knew there was something different about this man compared to those who were persecuting them, even though he was from them. Amen? Because he was a Jew, wasn't he? So here they were persecuting Jesus, who was one of their own, and they were saying, "Kill him." But Pilate could not find anything wrong with Jesus. And because of all of these things that were going on, he acknowledged Jesus as a king. Now, and in verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross," Jesus bearing his cross, "went to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' So Pilate went even extra further and said, listen, I know this man as a king. He couldn't understand it, of what king or whatever, but he knew he was a king because of his character. In verse 20, then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. I'm telling you, there wasn't anybody there that could not read that the one that was crucified is the king of the Jews. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the king of the Jews. But he said, I am the king of the Jews. And this is what Pilate was responding. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. In other words, it is over and it is done. Remember, Jesus said, it is finished. Pilate followed right along and said, it is finished. He's declared as the king of the Jews. Does everybody get it? Why? Because Pilate saw the character of a king. Now, you can't be king and raise kings, can you? Unless you are a king. You understand it? So you and I, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father as the high priest. That's how you and I are priests. So he had to be a king so that you and I could be kings. But there was a things that Jesus had to go through, didn't he? Look at, Jesus had to go through hell on earth, didn't he? Amen? and look at the stuff that he went through before he was recognized as a king. Now, even his own still didn't recognize him as king yet. But Pilate, as a position of authority as a king, recognized him. Amen? Now look at this. This is powerful. So here he talks about authority and power. And there was something else that Pilate saw about Jesus. And that was the anointing of a king. Because that's what expressed the character of a king, is the anointing of a king. Amen? So, now, the religious will always kill the knowledge of the king's anointing. Do you understand that? The religious spirit always hates the king's anointing because the king's anointing always exposes. It's always exposing. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. Oh, praise God. Pilate acknowledged the character of the king and he wrote it because he wanted it written in history. He wanted it to be known from that point on. You got to remember, everything that was going down was always recorded, wasn't it? They had records of who they crucified and everything. So it's recorded. Now, on the back of that parchment that they had above Jesus that said that he was the king of the Jews in three different languages, on the back of it, it was said what he was accused of doing. So all of these things that he was accused of is how you and I got free from. You understand? He was accused of blasphemy. He was accused of all kinds of things. All of these areas that he was accused of, that the Jews were accusing him, were put on the back of that parchment. And that's where you and I got free from. Because he paid the price. Do you understand that? Because he was a what? King. Now, the only way that you and I can become kings is because we're under the King of Kings. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 18 while we're there. John 18. In verse 36. And Jesus was, of course, speaking with Pilate again. And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. So a king always has a kingdom, doesn't he? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. In other words, naturally, carnally. They would fight like every other kingdom of this world. so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. So what Jesus was doing was bringing the kingdom into the world. Does everybody understand that? Because he was a what? King. Every king has a kingdom, don't they? Amen? In other words, in the carnal arena, man cannot comprehend the kingdom of God because it's not visible to them. They can't understand the kingdom of God. Even when Jesus and John came and they said, behold, the kingdom of God, they couldn't get it, could they? They were looking for a military to come. They were looking for a military to be led by Jesus to wipe out all the Roman Empire and take over. Because remember when Jesus was getting ready to go home, they said, well, when will the kingdom of Israel be restored? So they were still looking carnally and naturally, weren't they? And in this, I want to really express the importance of why we are desiring to be in the Spirit. Because the kingdom is not of the natural, it's of the supernatural. The kingdom of God is something invisible, but it expresses himself through us that things can be manifest. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray to the Father, pray that thy kingdom will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that there's a realm of the kingdom that's in heaven, isn't there? Amen? In other words, there's that realm which is an invisible kingdom. And that's why it's so important that we walk in the Spirit so that we can see the kingdom of God. Now watch this. Go to John 3. John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Bible says if you're carnal, you can't receive the things of the Spirit, can you? Amen? In John chapter 3, would you read it with me? First six verses, I guess. Somewhere around there. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Of course he came by night. He didn't want anybody to know he associated with him. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, he said we because there was only a couple of them. There were not the whole Sanhedrin. Why? Because they're the ones that crucified him. And Jesus said to him, most surely I say to you, unless one is what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, do you get that? Born again. In other words, if you are not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, we've got a teaching called saved or born again, and I'm not going to get into this teaching, but I'm telling you that the word born again, I really believe, is used incorrectly many times. Because there are people who are saved, but they ain't born again. Y'all get that? Because he said he was born again can see the kingdom of God. Hello? Now watch. Let's go a little further. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now you got to understand this. Did Nicodemus believe who Jesus was? Yes. That means he is what? Saved. Amen? But Jesus turned around and said, brother, you need to get born again. Now you try to tell that to religious sect, they won't get it. It'll go right through over their head. What do you mean, man? In verse 5, and Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of the what?
Water.
Now that is the remission of sin. Amen? That's salvation. And the Spirit. Does everybody get this? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's what is born of the Spirit is what? He said, man, don't marvel about this, brother. You need to be born again. Now remember, the Bible says he who believes in Jesus, with Jesus standing right there. Nicodemus wanted to go see him at night. Why? Because he believed him. He believed who he was. Anyone who believes in Jesus is saved. Now, we call this is a state of being. But those who are born again have been baptized in the Spirit. Why? Because they're able to see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is manifested. Now, I'm telling you this. People have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and refuse to walk in the Spirit. They still judge things carnally. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Romans 14. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 14. In verse 16. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Romans 14, verse 16. 14:16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Come on, read it. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy where? In the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, listen, the kingdom of God has got nothing to do with carnality. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the foundation of the kingdom is built by the Spirit of the living God, not built by letter. Hello? Oh, glory. Go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. It was on my heart to lay this foundation so we can get a better understanding about the ministry of kings. In Luke 4 and verse 18. Now, Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He goes into the synagogue. And this is the first time he preaches. Now, we know that when he was a young child, right, he was in the temple, and he was talking to things, and mom and dad wanted to go get him. Come on. He said, don't you know about my father's business? But mom knew better. It's not time. Because there's a lot of things hidden in Mary's heart that she knew, because I'm telling you what, she had more than one visitation from angels. You kidding me? She was the King of Glory's mother for a period of time, and that changed too. So Jesus goes in, and verse 16, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Of course, when he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, a lot of people probably passed out that day. Man, isn't he just Joseph's son and Mary's son and this and that, whatever? But anyways, this was the first thing Jesus began to preach was the anointing. Now, he's actually in this scripture right here, he speaks of three anointings. He speaks of the salvation anointing, the priestly anointing, and the kingly anointing. And he says, I've been anointed with all three. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So he was proclaiming his anointing, his position. Amen? All glory. Go to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Acts 10:38. Oh, yes, glory. Yes, glory. Yes, glory. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink, will you? Praise you, Lord. Because I sense, I'm telling you, I can sense the Spirit right now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us. Continue to remove any scales there on anyone and any hardening of the heart, that understanding and revelation be imparted, and a desire to fulfill kingship in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, and it says, and how God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, glory. Now, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Why? He's proclaiming all three anointings. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, what kind of anointing would you look at that? It's called the anointing of priestly anointing that what? Ministers. Do you understand that? Ministering anointing. Let me tell you, there's three types of anointing. There's the salvation anointing, there's the priestly anointing, and there's the kingly anointing. Are you with me? There's a salvation anointing, there's a priestly anointing, and there's a king anointing. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Amen? Now, can a believer have a spirit of Antichrist? Yes. Why? Because it's coming against the anointing. So, now listen. Let's go a little further. Look at verse 19. Then it says, they what? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Know all things. Now, what was he expressing? He said, listen. He was expressing, listen, that they were of us, but then they chose not to be with us. And they've set their focus and direction in another area. In other words, they've opened their heart to something else. And they've gone and followed that way. But you have the kingly anointing, and you know all things. Do you understand this? Now listen. In the salvation anointing, that's when God draws you. No man comes to the Father unless he's what? Drawn. In other words, every one of us had to be drawn by the anointing of God to get saved. Amen? The next anointing that comes is when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry anointing. Amen? Then God begins to train you up because you've been called, chosen, and now to see if you're faithful, so the kingly anointing is released. Everybody with me? All right. That's why there's so much stuff in the body of Christ. In the area of the salvation anointing, it's the ministry of grace. That's all they can do is preach grace. Hello? Yeah, man, you're saved by grace. That's it. You don't have to do nothing. Just sit there and be stupid. You don't have to do anything. You can be a couch potato for the rest of your life. You've been saved by grace. See, the problem is they have no revelation, because the word grace means God's plan in action. Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace. In other words, he came with God's will. So, see, they can't go beyond the ministry of grace. That's why they can never teach healing. They can never teach deliverance. They can't get into worship. Do you all understand this? Because their limitation is salvation and grace. That is it. They go no further. They've never cast out a devil and don't realize they're loaded with them. Why? Because, let me share with you, they've never gotten to the part of born again. They have no dominion, no power. They constantly rely on Jesus' grace. And they will never reach the kingly ministry. They do not know how to minister to the Lord because they haven't gotten the anointing of ministry to the Lord, which is the priestly anointing. And this is where there's so much stuff in the body of Christ where there's denominations and all of this garbage. Does everybody understand that? See, because if everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it'd be a big difference. They wouldn't come against the gifts of the Spirit, raising the dead, casting out devils. They can't interpret the Word of God to its fullness because the Holy Spirit, hello, is the author. They can only go so far. They can only see so far. They can't see the kingdom. That's all they know is the ministry of grace. Do you all understand that? That's the anointing. It's just the salvation anointing. But there is two more parts. Hello? In fact, the number two in the Bible means witness. That's why Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be a what? Witness. Y'all get that? Why? Because that's part two. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be a witness. A witness of what? Now you can minister. That's why he told the disciples, don't you put your butt out there nowhere. You wait 10 days. I don't care if you have to order Domino's pizza up there. But you wait 10 days until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you go out. But other than that, you go up. Why? Because if you have not completed successfully your home, Jerusalem, you have no right going anywhere. God will never send you out anywhere until you have successfully completed what he's at your home. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. And that's where they're self-proclaimed this and self-proclaimed that. People are going out there trying to minister and they've never fulfilled their priesthood. They're still looking in the carnal arena. Y'all understand this? Look at, there are a lot of people that even say, yes, I've been baptized, and I'm not saying God's not touching them or baptizing them, but now they're not utilizing it. See, because it's your responsibility to get in the Spirit. Hello? It's your responsibility to yield to the Spirit of God so that the kingdom of God is manifested. You know, it grieves my spirit because some people will never get it in this so much. So much. It said peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in power, not in word. It's in power. Oh, hallelujah. I'll get this. Turn to Daniel 11. Now this is pretty amazing, isn't it? Because he said, now you've got the anointing and you know all things. So if you don't know all things, you're not walking in the anointing. Hello? If you can't see, if you can't discern the ethics, the character, the governing laws of the kingdom of God, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. If you can't see these things, you are carnal. I don't care if you're praying in the Spirit, raising your hand and thanking God. If you can't see these things, you are carnal. Why? Because you are focusing on the things of carnality. You're focusing and you're reasoning on natural common sense and not the things of the Spirit because you can't hear. You're deaf. And if you're deaf, you'll always be carnal. Are you hearing me? It's important. That's why people can't hear the voice of God. Or they started to, but then they started going in their own strength and doing things that they feel. Are you with me? Instead of what the Spirit is really leading them to. Because they've lost that sensitivity. They've gotten too caught up in carnality. Their hearts have become hardened and their ears have become deaf. Now they hear what they want to hear instead of hearing what the Spirit is saying. Because they can't see. They can't see things through. They don't see the ripple effect of what's about to happen or what they just did. They don't realize that everything that they do has just affected everyone in the whole kingdom of God. And somebody has to make up for it. Amen? In Daniel 11. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 32. Praise your master. Would you read it with me? Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Whoa. People that know their God. People that know their king. I said no. Not just read about. Oh, you can read about Jesus all you want, man. You can read about the King of Glory. You can get in your word all day long. Read, 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 read. Know the page numbers. Know. You can memorize everything and never meet him. And never meet him. You know why? Because you're stuck in the ministry and the anointing of grace. Are you understanding? Listen, even if you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can still make the choice to go back to the ministry of grace, the anointing of grace. I've seen people have been baptized, freed, get going, all of a sudden I see them a little bit later. Man, they are religious as can be. They're hiding behind the Word of God. And I can see their fruit. It stinks and they're all carnal. They started out right, but they didn't. They're not continuing that way. Why? Because one of the things that must always make... Let me tell you what the anointing always does to you. Keeps you humble. Keeps you humble. The anointing will always keep you humble. The anointing will always say, come on, man. You'll be sensitive to the anointing. Why? Because God cannot flow through live people. He flows through dead ones. Because he is. That's why Jesus said, do you not understand? I am the resurrection. Y'all understand this. I'm telling you, we got to get this in this time. You've got to make a choice today what you want to do. Jesus stands before you today. Whom will you serve? Yourself. If you serve yourself, you serve the devil. If you live in the carnal, the Bible says, he who sets his mind on the carnality will perish. What does God say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you can have knowledge and never use it. Never use it. There's people that have been studying the Word of God and all kinds of stuff for 15, 20 years. And never use it. The devil keeps stealing it and stealing it and stealing it. Why? Because they're so caught up in the salvation anointing. The anointing in the ministry of grace. You know why? They don't want to pay the price. They don't want to pay the price. I'm satisfied, I'm saved. That's good. But that's not what God called you for. That's not what he's just called you for. He's not called just to save you. He didn't come just to save you. Hello. That's why he commanded. Does everybody understand that? He commanded that the disciples, which were 500 of them, right, on the day of Pentecost, to get weight for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody get it? And only 120 of them obeyed. 380 started denominations. Oh, glory. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. God is raising the ministry of kings. This is the last time, end time, army will be ministries of kings. Not wimps. Not the ministry of salvation. Hello? Remember, Paul said, it's time to move on. It's time to lay these things down and move on. Move on to what? Move on to bigger and better things in the Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. The ministry of salvation will never leave. Do you understand that? But there's more, isn't there? There's more. Far be it that we bring someone to the Lord and leave them. All right, yes, come take Jesus. You got it, brother. And then not tell them about any power. And they go back every time, don't they? Or they come in bondage. And they're constantly calling out to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help me. Because they're only involved in the ministry of grace, salvation. They don't know. But Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to bring you peace. I came to bring you a sword. Use it. He wouldn't tell us to get dressed with the full armor of God if we didn't need it. Hello? He didn't say in Mark 16, go out and cast out a devil, would he? Unless he meant it. We are no longer involved in a ministry of salvation. We're involved in a ministry of taking territory. Amen. We are involved in a ministry, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors. Let me tell you, take territory, souls comes with it. Hallelujah. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Shoot about that. Go to Psalm 18. Hallelujah. Psalm 18. Remember, Jesus didn't tell him, you need to be saved. What did he say? You need to be born again. Whew. Glory. Psalm 18. Oh, praise God. Psalm 18. And I believe it's verse 39. Oh, check this out, man. All right, it's my brother David, man. That's our king. Start at verse 35. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my what? Enemies and overtaken them. David didn't play no games, man. Everybody get it? He didn't cry out, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, please. Do something. He did. He gave him a sword. He says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. You got to pursue your enemy and overtake them. You cannot fight the devil underneath the bed. You must bring your light from underneath that bushel. Man, one night I was in the back room in my little chuchihuahua. What they call those things? Labradoodles. Things should be named Dino. Anyway, I was in the back room. I was laying on the bed and I had the TV on, and all of a sudden I heard her scuttle. And I heard her go, whoop. And I'm telling you, that dog moonwalked backwards all the way down the hallway with a little whoop, whoop, whoop. She walked right by the bed I was sitting on and went on the other side behind her and stuck her head out. Whoop, whoop. I'm thinking, all right, what's up here? So I'm thinking, okay, either her shadow scared her or there's something in the house. So I began to do spiritual warfare. I'm not taking no chances either. If the dog's moonwalking down in front of me down the hallway, I got to do something about it, you know? I'm telling you, take not one step forward. Every four little, she went backwards all the way with a little whoop, whoop. She couldn't even bark, you know? So then I tried to get her out. I said, come on, and her name is Grace. Wouldn't you know that? She was under the anointing of grace, not the anointing of the king. I better change her name. And cast a religious spirit out of her, I guess. So I go out in the hallway and I'm going, come on, Grace. And I'm binding powers of darkness and I'm commanding that spirit of fear to go because I know something that I know. And she come, whoop. She looked at me and said, come on, it's all right. I go out in the kitchen. I'm still waiting for her to come out of down the hallway. She's crawling down the hallway. I'm trying to convince her everything's cool. And I'm going, the blood is cool. You know what I mean? The blood that Jesus removed us. And I went into the living room and her little head just stuck around the cabinet. And then she finally came out. And I thought, man, what a wimp. I missed my Doberman. But see, they don't bark so quick. They wait till they get near you. And then they go after you. That's the kind of attack I like. But anyway, praise God. Good strategies. You know, Dobermans have good strategies. They wait till you hop the fence, get in the yard, and they go, hello. Yeah. Hi. You must be tonight's dessert. You know? But the little chihuahuas, man, they bark when they know you're coming from 2 miles away. They start barking before you get there so nobody can catch the people. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's continue on. Verse 37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. In other words, he followed it all the way through. That's what a king does. He don't take no garbage. That's the anointing of a king. Follows it all the way through. I would have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Now, check this out. For you have what? Armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me, and you also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Glory to God. And that's what the Bible says. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. Not run. Hello? Praise God, we're going somewhere. Let me share something with you. He said that the Lord armed them with strength for battle. They are always ready to go into battle. A king's ministry is always ready to go into battle. Amen? You know why? Because they feed on strong meat of the word. They feed on strong meat, not milk. Those who just drink milk can't go into battle. Do y'all understand this? You must feed on meat. That's where the revelation comes. That's where strong meat comes. Amen? Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
So if you hear me call you a choo-choo-wah, you know why, right? Ah, you little choo-choo-wah-wah. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 5. Everybody there? Good. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see where we're going. In verse 12. Everybody see it? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. Man, I'm telling you what. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, you've gone backwards instead of forward. By now you should have been walking and understanding and seeing these things. By now you should have gotten it. Why have you gone backwards instead of forward? For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I'm telling you, there are people who have been 30 years in Christ and still babes. Because they're still focusing on carnality and not spirit. Amen? Let me tell you something. Kings don't eat junk food. Hello? I'm talking about junk food. You know what I'm talking about? Junk. Word. Things that are junk out there in the people preaching junk. Soulish ministry of junk. I get emails from people. I get letters. I mean, did you read that letter? I said, man, I don't read junk mail. I don't eat junk food. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good. Let me tell you, that discernment is important. So you can tell people who are really, listen, you can hear meat word and never grasp it. Never put it. Amen? There's a lot of people that want to go out and do the things of God, but they've not fulfilled, hello, and been successful in the home. You have no right going out anywhere until you are successful and completed things in the home. Amen? Does everybody get it? And that's where an individual needs to put into practice those things that they have learned. I'm telling you, God has had me leave messages with people and write things once in a while. Not very often, just maybe a few times. Telling them, don't tell anybody about Jesus. Don't tell nobody you know Jesus. They've called me back and said, why? I said, because you're a liar and a thief. What do you mean I'm a liar and a thief? That's right. Jesus don't lie to me. I know what the Holy Ghost has told me about you. And you're a liar and a thief, and stop going around telling people about Jesus until you get right with God. And when you got to get right with God? First of all, you got to get right with God. Then he causes you to get everything else right with God. Amen? Your position, your finances, your relationships, he tells you to get all of these things right. People going around preaching about things that they're not right with God. And they're waiting for the blessings of God and things are happening when they're not right. Why? Because the devil is the only one blessing them. Hello? Solid food, not junk food. Praise God. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11. The ministry of kings. Luke 11. Jesus will always put you in an area where there are requirements of how you obey what he says. In Luke 11 and verse 21, the Bible says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. And when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Wow. So this is how believers become overtaken. Then they become scatterers instead of gatherers. Why? He's telling you right there, it's a fight. It's a war. He says when somebody's armor is taken, in other words, or trust in their armor instead of trusting in the Lord. Does everybody get this? In other words, that person has been stripped from fighting. Stripped. And can't fight. Can't overcome. And then what happens is the devil, they become a scatterer instead of a gatherer. Does everybody understand that? Listen, we must be stronger and take demons right out of your territory. Amen? Let me tell you, you can't pet evil. You can't pet evil. You can't dance with evil. You can't play with it. Because you open the door to the devil. The Bible says, make no place to the devil. He will wipe you out in a second. Amen? He'll wipe you out in a second. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not a respecter of person. We must be stronger and take dominion over all of these areas and continue to drive out these demons from those territories. The first territory that needs to be constantly driven out is the temple. If you can't drive out a devil out of the temple, you can't drive a devil out anywhere else. If your temple ain't clean, you're not under authority. Does everybody understand that? Oh, Psalm 92. Glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 92. Praise you, Lord. In verse 10. Now let's start at verse 8. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with what? Fresh oil. My eye also has what? Seen my desire on my enemies, and my ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. That's a kingly anointing. Oh, glory. That's why it's essential to maintain fresh oil. In other words, fresh anointing. Some of us sometimes need an oil change. Amen? Need to get rid of that filter and all the garbage that you've been collecting. Hey, let me tell you, the temple is not interested in antiques. Hello? No antiques. No dust collectors. Amen? Go to 1 Kings 3. First Kings chapter 3. Hallelujah. Now, antiques and dust collectors are representation of also idols. Oh, glory. Yes, yes, we want to go on from the ministry of grace of salvation, continue on to the ministry as priest, so that we can fulfill kingship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I mean, 1 Kings, I'm sorry. Thank you. In verse 9, it says, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart. To what? Judge your people, that I may what? Discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now, this was Solomon's request. Amen? Let me share with you. In this kingship and the ministry of kings, we must be able to make decisions and judgments swiftly. Executing judgments is a function of a king. You execute a judgment. In fact, the Lord rebuked Israel because they refused to execute judgment. Does everybody get that? we must, in the ministry of kings, which God is raising us up, what the Holy Spirit's going to bring you to is to have the discernment that you can judge quickly. Does everybody understand that? You don't have to go around praying for 2 days before something happens. Somebody could already be dead. You know, it's like somebody who needing food, you tell them you'll be back in a week. You must be able to execute judgment. That is a function of a king. In other words, doing the right, making the righteous judgment on everything quickly. Sometimes there's no time, is there? And Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Ministry of Kings. Proverbs 29. Glory. In verse 14 it says, "The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be what? Established forever." He who judges the poor with truth. Now listen, in this area, the poor are, he's expressing that they are, they can't fight. Does everybody understand that? He who judges the poor with truth, in other words, and there's no compromise of whether they are poor in finances or wealthy in finances or whether they are somebody or nobody. Amen. He who judges the poor righteously, because they sometimes they can't defend themselves. And in this, he says, listen, you must judge the poor in the area where you are going to assist in their growth. Is everybody with me? That you've got to what? Be able to what? Assist in their growth. Why? Now listen, sometimes there's tough decisions, isn't there? Amen. Sometimes people are removed from a kingdom. Sometimes they are chastened. Sometimes they are counseled, whatever. But this is all associated with territory. Territory, because you have the poor, you have the wealthy, amen? And you cannot be any respecter of person. Everybody is judged, amen? According to the way the Spirit says how you judge them. Now, I'm talking about making decisions. I'm not talking about going around judging all kinds of people. I'm talking about what God puts in front of your path and how you are to judge. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Because one of the things you're always doing is judging fruit, aren't you? If the fruit stinks, you know something ain't right. Right? You can't take and you can't believe somebody that fruit stinks. Amen? You can't believe them. They can say everything they want, but you can't believe them. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 149. A few more scriptures and we're done. Psalm 149. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Psalm 149. Verse 8 and 9. Are you there? Well, let's start at verse 6, though. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Glory. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. See, you're judging by what's been written. This honor of all of his saints, praise the Lord. In other words, it's available for all the saints to begin to walk in the kingly anointing. Does everybody hear me? Good. Now, I guess I better go here. Go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. I want to share something very quick about the kingly anointing. Now, we talked about the anointing of salvation, or this is the grace, the ministry of grace. The anointing of the priest is a ministry, the minister. And the kingly anointing. The kingly anointing is used to build. Does everybody get it? The kingly anointing is used to build. In Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Does everybody see that? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear or reverence of the Lord. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, but decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Does everybody see that? That is the kingly anointing to build. Those are seven additions. That's the seven anointings that the king will always walk in. Does everybody see that? What's it for? To build. The kingly anointing builds. How is he going to build? Because the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. He will have what? The Spirit of wisdom. He will have the Spirit of understanding. He will have the Spirit of counsel. In other words, he'll have counsel. Constant counsel is always running within the king. Always. Why? Because he's always discerning. He's always judging. There's always a time part of execution of things. Decisions that need to be made. All kinds of things in that arena. That kingly anointing. He'll have the anointing of wisdom and understanding. Does everybody see this? He'll have the anointing of knowledge, revelation knowledge that will come. I'm not talking about knowledge you read about. Amen? Does everybody understand that? And of course, he'll always have the reverence and the fear of the king who has anointed him to be king or her to be king. Has everybody got it? Good. Now, go to Revelation 4 while we're here. How many of y'all want the kingly anointing? Praise God. Well, it's to build. Amen? The kingly anointing is used to build. And Revelation chapter 4. Everybody there? In verse 2. And John said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Around the throne there was 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders, clothed in white robes. And they had what? Crowns of gold on their heads. Why? Because they were kings. Now, those are the 12 apostles, 12 disciples of the New Testament, and then there are 12 of the Old Testament. There's an association of 24 elders. And that's where King David sits and so forth. So everybody understand this, Samuel and whatever. These are the kings. They had crowns. Why? Because of what they walked in. When God had ordained them, they were faithful. Those are the 24 elders. Those are known when God sets forth and sends out. The Bible talks about the spirit of counsel, right? Well, there is the spirit of counsel, and there is the counsel of the Spirit. Now, the 24 elders are associated with the counsel of the throne. When God expresses, it goes through the elders. From the elders, it goes to the spirits. Somebody get this? Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Read verse 5 with me. And it says, from the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the what? Seven spirits of God. Remember, we just talked about the seven anointings of the king. And did they not have crowns on? Yes. Does everybody get this? Are you all right? Good. Praise God. We need the kingly anointing and authority to advance against the undermining attacks of darkness. Amen? In the present and in the future. Let me share something with you very important. God is accelerating things in the third day because we're in the third day. must be willing to adapt to the faster pace. I'm going to say that one more time. God is accelerating things in the third day, and we must be willing to adapt to the faster pace and responsibility and efficiency with the spirit of excellence. Does everybody get it? Daniel was acknowledged as the spirit of excellence. Joseph was acknowledged with the spirit of excellence. We must be willing to adapt to the faster pace. I didn't say anxiousness. I said the faster pace. Amen? In fact, go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Almost done. But I'm finishing this. But it's a good night to die, right? 1 Samuel 21, verse 7 and 9 through 9. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul were there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, and the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, "Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required what? Haste. Because the king's business required what? Ooh, so the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except the one here." And David said, "This is none. There is none like it. Give it to me." So God provided the what? Sword, didn't he? But he said something important. He said, "Man," he said, "I forgot my stuff because of the king's what? Haste. Because of the pace. We've got to begin to adapt to the faster pace of what God is doing." Does everybody understand that? It is so important. Praise God. In Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Then two more scriptures. God willing. All right, we'll start at 3. 24:3. Through wisdom a house is what?
Built.
And by understanding it is?
Established.
So through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. That's why it's so important that even in the king's council, in that area, there are those around the king, and in walking in his kingly anointing, that you want to be like-minded. Amen? Like-minded. In other words, something that you might miss, the other person will pick up. Amen? That's why the king always hid the round table, didn't he? Or others would would see. In other words, because of the move of haste and because there's so many things that have to be done, God will put around you those who are walking in the Spirit to begin to assist and pick up because you become like-minded. Amen? Glory to God. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Revelation 19. Now, I'm going to close here, but I want you to understand something. The purpose of the kingly anointing also in the things where there's haste and where God has ordained with the seven anointings of the kingly ministry, it also is to establish strategies. Strategies are important. I didn't say plans, I said strategies. I don't make plans. Whatever God gives me is for a strategy. In other words, another way to infiltrate the powers of darkness. Another way to do something else. Does everybody understand that? Strategies. The kingly anointing is always associated with strategies. Why? Because it's always building. And before you can build, you have to conquer. Do you get it? That's why we're to start taking territories. So that's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Amen? And his last day, third day warriors, third dimensional warriors, the kingly anointing will be established because there's going to be the ministry of kings and queens. Hallelujah. Wouldn't want to leave the queenies out. Amen? Because God is not a respecter of person. It depends what you desire to walk in, what you're really willing to yield to, and are you still willing to do whatever it takes. Amen? Glory to God. In Revelation 19, in verse 11, everybody there? Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and what? King of Kings and what? Lord of Lords. You all understand it. Why? Because we are kings and he's the king of all kings. Amen? So I want the purpose of this teaching is to bring you a desire to want to walk in the ministry of kings. It is available for you. There is training. Holy Spirit's going to train you. You will enter Holy Ghost boot camp. Amen? Sometimes over and over and over. The training never stops. There's always training and testing. What's he always testing you for? Your discernment. Y'all get this. He's always going to test your discernment, isn't he? And he's going to test something else, your faithfulness. Two things will always be tested, discernment and faithfulness. If you have not come into the area and the arena of complete faithfulness, complete discernment, he will keep you right in that place. He will not send you until you are successful in completing the faithful and discernment area of home we call Jerusalem, right where you're at. Does everybody get it? Faithfulness and discernment. Then he begins to send you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word. Lord, we desire to walk in the ministry of kings. And we are willing to do whatever it takes. So train us. Train us according to your will through your Spirit. And cause us to become faithful. Cause us to learn discernment. Cause us to do your will. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And everyone said...